We begin our study in Mark 14, verses 26 through 31. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. Did you know that it's possible to find hypocrisy in any forest? In any great forest, you will find many huge trees. They tower above the other trees, and they appear to be the very picture of strength and maturity. Still, experienced loggers sometimes will not even bother to cut down these huge trees. To look at them, you'd think this makes no sense. After all, the big tree must have two or three times the wood of the smaller trees around it. The reason is simple. Huge trees are often rotten on the inside. They are the hollow trees that raccoons live in. They are the trees that are often blown over in a strong windstorm because, while they appear to be the picture of strength, their hollowness makes them very weak. There's an old saying that goes like this: the bigger they are, the harder they fall. That truth applies to trees, and it also applies to Christians. A lot of us are like those big trees in the forest. We like to think that we have made great strides in our walk of faith. We would not want to admit it, but we often judge others by measuring their lives against the life that we live. You know it's true. We look at others and we see the things they do, the places they go, and we hear the things they say, and we look at them and we say, "We would never do that." Yes, we would not own up to it, but we think there's something special about us. Even as Peter in this text said, "I would never do that." We often act as if we really believe that we are the true standard of faith. The problem with most of us, however, is this. We, like the trees that I just mentioned before, are rotten on the inside. We are just not what we think we are. A little persecution, a little trial, a little tribulation, you'll see how shallow, how hollow you are inside. We don't live the kind of lives we like to think we do. In truth, we spend our days deceiving ourselves and trying to deceive those around us. In this passage, Jesus deals with some men who saw themselves as big trees in the Christian forest. If you had asked any of them, they would have told you that they were sold out for Jesus. They would remind you how they had left everything to follow him. They would tell you, as they were about to tell Jesus Christ, that they would never fail him or forsake him. Jesus, on the other hand, is about to reveal to them the truth about themselves and their deception of themselves. How they have deceived themselves, and how many of us have deceived ourselves today. The verses before us today give us a small taste of the conversation that Jesus had with his men as they walked from Jerusalem down through the Kidron Valley on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. It was during this conversation that Jesus Christ revealed to his men that they would all forsake him before the night was over. I was also during this conversation that his men made their adamant declarations that they would never do something like that. Don't ever think never, brothers and sisters. If you had come to any of these men and had asked them, do you think you'll ever fail the Lord that you deny him? They would have looked at you and said, never. But they were about to learn the truth that never wasn't really as long as they thought that it was. Never, say never, never do that. These verses remind us that self-righteousness, hypocrisy, and spiritual failure are a possibility for any of us. Never forget that men at best are just men. Women at best are just women. These verses teach us that we should live every day with an honest understanding of our true spiritual condition. In other words, when we look at a text like this, we all need to come down off of our high horse. We need to come down because these verses teach us that we should never say never. Let us begin to look at some of the truths that are contained in this text that show us the dangers of thinking that we have arrived. The dangers of thinking that we have arrived, especially after you've been saved for decades. Year after year after year, you settle in the Christian life and you think, oh, I can do this. I just don't do A, B, and C, and X, Y, and Z. And I go to church and that's it. That's all a Christian life is about. Let us look at verse 27 of our text. Then Jesus said to them, all of you, notice, all of you, no exceptions. Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. All of you. As I said earlier, Jesus and his disciples are on the way to Gethsemane. Christ is going to be crucified. They're on their way to Gethsemane. And when they arrive there, Jesus will pray the great prayer of John 17. If you've never studied John 17, you see Jesus' great prayer recorded in that chapter. Later, Christ will be arrested and carried away for trial by his enemies. On the way to Gethsemane, Jesus has some things to say to his men that they need to hear and that we need to hear. We need to hear them. If you don't think you need to hear them, you're on your way to fulfilling the very prophecies that is contained in our text. We see the prophecy of Christ. All of you will be offended because of me this night. All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. Offended. Stumble. Made to stumble. Fall away. Jesus is clearly telling his men that they will stumble and fall because of him that very night. We get our modern word scandal from the word that is translated offended or stumble in our text. Scandal, scandalized. The very disciples of Christ will be scandalized by the things that would happen to Christ that night. Because, like all Jews, they were offended by the thought of anyone dying on a cross, much less being associated with anyone was. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23 tells us, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness, a stumbling block, a scandalon, an offense. They would be scandalized. They would be offended by the things that would happen to Jesus Christ. How often we feel that way. Scandalized because of the stand that the Scripture takes against the sins of today. When we stand up for sins, against sins that people indulge in today, we take offense. We're offended by those that are around us. You take a stand for homosexuality, for lesbianism, for abortion, and people laugh at you, people mock you. See, we don't like that feeling. We don't like the way that it makes us feel. Even the disciples in the text were going to be offended by what was going to take place. Here was a Jew that was going to be lifted up and die on the cross. And they would be offended. The events of the night would cause them to rethink their association with Jesus and their allegiance to him. And how often has that taken place with us? We rethink our association with Christ because of what the Scripture says about sin and the consequences of sin. We're scandalized and offended by the fact that the Bible teaches about hell, that the Bible teaches about predestination, that the Bible teaches that there's only one way, that the Bible forbids people to live together and to shack up together. We're offended by these things because we have to take a stand and people laugh at us and mock at us and mock us. We think our association with Christ, as I said, many of us think we're tall trees. And many of us are tall trees, but very hollow inside. And I said, a little persecution brings it out. And we're going to see in the text what happened when the soldiers come for Christ. We will see all of these men of his that was with him for all of those years. They're offended by him. And they depart by him. As I said, the events of that night causes them to rethink their association with them. And these were men that spent their lives with them for years. And look at Mark 14, verse 50, what it says. Then they all forsook him and fled. We need to seriously stop for a minute and think if that is not possible for us to do. Jesus tells them that their failure would be the fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy. Zechariah 13:7 says this, and realize this, when you see these texts, here's Christ telling you the translation, what it means of the Old Testament text. He's telling you, this is speaking to me, Zechariah 13:7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Just as the betrayal of Jesus by Judas Iscariot has been a part of the divinely ordained plan, so would be their abandonment of the Lord. Jesus was their shepherd. When he was taken away from them, they quickly lost their way. They wandered from the path of closeness and they strayed further than they had ever thought possible. Farther than they ever thought possible. This verse showcases the Lord's omniscience. His omniscience is all-knowing. We serve a Savior who knows all things. The disciples surely thought that they were close to the Lord and secure from failing him. His words were designed to show them that he knew them far better than they knew themselves. And don't be deceived, the same is true with us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what we are capable of. He knows the depths of the sin that resides still within our hearts. Even with new hearts, these body of death that we still carry around are capable of unbelievable sins. Many of us scratch our heads when leaders around us in the Christian community fall. Why do you scratch your head when this happens? It was the disciples, lived with Christ for 3 years, walked and talked and prayed and wept with him and was blessed by him, and yet here they are, all of them, the text says. All of them would deny him. All of them. Why would we think that we're any different? Are we not deceived? We deceive ourselves into thinking that because we're saved, that we have reached a place of where we are no longer tempted to fail. We seem to think that others may fail, but we never will. And let this truth be known today. It's just the grace of God that we are not out of God's will and out of the church today. Don't deceive yourself, brothers and sisters. When you see that brother or sister that has fallen out of the church, fallen out of God's will, it's just the grace of God that has kept you. It's just the grace of God that keeps us in his will from moment to moment. It's just the grace of God. Don't miss this. God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows the problems that you have with the flesh. He knows the potential that you have to sin. And he knows the pull of temptation and evil. He knows the full possibilities of sin in your life. And all of us need to realize that today. That it's just the grace of God that keeps us. It's just the grace of God that causes us to stand. It's just the grace of God that has kept us this long. It's just the grace of God that saves your soul. It's just the grace of God that will take you to heaven. It's just the grace of God that gives you eternal life. And it's just the grace of God that will save your soul today if you're listening and you've never come to Jesus Christ and repented of your sins and believed in him. It's just the grace of God that will save your soul, for by works no one will be saved. It's just the grace of God. May the grace of God cause you today to respond to the Holy Spirit in love and gratitude, because it's just the grace of God.